This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, what a night in sports. It's the eve of the Stanley Cup Final Game 1. Also, the Women's College World Series. Will Hill's going to have a complete breakdown of that. And the Colorado Rockies about to win back-to-back games. Will, can you believe what's developing in South Florida? The Rockies, who were down 2-0, now lead 3-2, bottom of the ninth. You had a bet on this game, right?
Took a half a run in the first five. I've been doing this a lot this season. So often, again, it's 2-2, 1-1 after five. You get that half a run and you cash. Now, this was a lucky kind of a backdoor where they're down 2-0 and they have to scratch across a couple off Alcantara. But look, he's been bad. You're going to give me a plus price or plus a half a run. That was one I did it Monday on. I gave it out on VSiN by the books too. Sometimes these half a runs are very valuable. So got the half a run there. We'll see if the Rockies can make it two in a row. Boy, this is you got to be a diehard to watch this game or go to this game, but not often. This, what, 22 straight series they've lost. This will break the streak if they're able to get a couple more outs here. So the tension is palpable.
You know what's interesting about that? You didn't hear that stat or that fact thrown around much until last week about how many series the Rockies have lost. Yeah. And now that everybody starts regurgitating the same number, the Rockies are going to win a series, right? So isn't that funny how the way that stuff works in betting? You didn't hear that at all until this week, and now all of a sudden the Rockies are going to win a series. If they can get this win tonight, and they're up 3-2 in the ninth inning, and we'll see what happens in South Florida. Guardians and the Yankees tied at 1. Will, does this surprise you at all? The Yankees closed around minus 215 tonight with Carlos Rodon on the mound, and in the seventh inning with the game tied at 1, the Yankees are still minus 215 at DraftKings.
It's too much. It's too much. It's actually tempting to bet Cleveland. I know the later you get with these games, it favors the home team. You get the final at bat. But what's the comeback on Cleveland? Is that enough for you to make a live bet here on Cleveland? I'm tempted to bet the Guardians.
Well, I think the Yankees bullpen situation is a little bit shakier, right? Without Luke Weaver, who's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. And I would say, if anything, I would bet the Cleveland or pass at that price. I'm surprised like you that price is so high. Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cash back rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code PRIME. Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. All right. Are you betting that the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers are going to be united here soon, Will Hill? Do you think that's going to happen? I see ESPN hyping up the story on their NFL live show tonight. Aaron Rodgers hinting he will sign with Steelers. They start a mandatory minicamp in about a week. I've expected this to happen all along. I think the Steelers have been a little bit clumsy in their quarterback plan here the last couple of years. But I think this Rodgers to Pittsburgh thing is going to happen. The question is then, how much of an upgrade is he over Mason Rudolph, who would be the Steelers quarterback otherwise?
I do expect it to happen. I'm rooting for it to happen just so I have to stop, you know, hearing about all the speculation. Just play or don't play. Rodgers can be such a drama queen and a diva and drag this stuff out. And he loves the attention of everyone asking him, where will you play? Will you play? It's just he gets tired at some point, especially when you're not that good anymore. The best version of Rodgers could be an upgrade, but I don't know. I mean, he can't move anymore. He can still throw it, but he'll be able to throw it until, you know, he's in his 50s or 60s. He's just got a special arm. It's the rest of the stuff. It's the mobility. It's the playing in bad weather, as the Rockies are now one out away from closing this. So it's hard to say. It's hard to make any bets based off of Rodgers and have any enthusiasm. I understand there's some, you know, people who think there's an angle of, well, he's another year removed for the Achilles, so now he'll be fully recovered. Maybe. I just have to see it to believe it. So I'm generally, even though, if I had a game to win, would I rather have Rodgers or Mason Rudolph? I'd probably have Rodgers, although last we saw Rudolph a couple of years ago, he led Pittsburgh to the playoffs. I don't think he played well in the game against Buffalo, but he was serviceable. He was, decent. So slight upgrade Rodgers over Rudolph, but, it's hard to go too crazy here with Rodgers' level of play here the past few years.
Yeah, the NFL certainly expects Rodgers to be with the Steelers when they rolled out the schedule and they have Steelers at Jets in week 1, right? That tells you that they fully expect Rodgers to be with the Steelers. That's September 7th. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Detroit Lions and the NFC North later in the show, so stay tuned for that. Back to baseball. So we're talking about the Yankees and being minus 215 favorites in the seventh inning. Jazz Chisholm just leads off with a homer. It's one of those cheap Yankee Stadium homers into the first row in right field. But the Yankees take a 2-1 lead, Will.
Yeah, good thing. That was a good stay away there. Good stay away. He's got a swing that's designed for Yankee Stadium because he hooks, he pulls, he lifts. So he's hurt a lot. He's not my favorite player. He talks a lot for a guy who doesn't always back it up. But we mentioned the Yankees are in need of some infield help. They're just trying to keep filling in these gaps around, you know, Volpe at shortstop is okay. They got Goldschmidt, who's been good at first, but second, third base have been big question marks. So anything you get out of Chisholm, LeMahieu, anybody else here is a welcome addition for sure. As the Marlins, oh my goodness, I thought they tied the game. Somebody hit it to the wall, a jumping catch, and is caught by Colorado. The game is over. The Rockies have won a series. The Rockies have won a series. Down goes Frazier.
Wow. You sounded like, I don't know if I was listening to Vin Scully or who there called the end of the game. That's some good baseball play-by-play.
Appreciate it. And if you want to know where their money is really going, Bob, by the way, unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving you insight into where the sharp action is landing, the sharp action all over the Rockies tonight as they win and win the series. Circa is known for taking big bets from professional bettors, while DraftKings provides a broader market perspective. That means you're getting the real action, not just public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. See the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. $9.99 for a month. Pretty good. Pretty good deal.
Well, the Guardians at that plus price in the middle of the seventh were not a good deal. We talked about that. The Yankees were minus 215. After the homer by Jazz Chisholm, they were minus 750. After Anthony Volpe pulls one into the left field bleachers, it's 3-1 Yankees, and they are minus 2,100, just like that. Bybee gives up two homers. Yankees go from tied to up 3-1, and that's the difference in the live line there. For Yankees minus 215, the Yankees minus 2,100. That was a 3-1 lead in the bottom of the seventh, Will.
And it's interesting. You almost have a double take. You're almost shocked when you see a starting pitcher this day and age still in there in the seventh inning. Because I'm flipping around watching these other games, and when you said seventh inning, Bybee gives up a couple of home runs. Oh my goodness, you have the starter still in there in the seventh. We've just become so conditioned to five, six innings. When they're out there in the seventh, or God forbid, the eighth or the ninth, you almost do a double take. It's just shocking to see at this point with how baseball is played now with all the bullpen usage.
We were talking about the Cubs, and are they for real? And all the offensive numbers indicate they are. They don't have the starting pitching rotation they expected to have when the season started, but the Cubs drop 8 on the Nationals tonight. Bottom of the eighth, Cubs up 8-3 in D.C. Phillies up 7-1 on the Blue Jays. Phillies have been up big most of that game. Red Sox have come back to tie it up. Angels were up 3-1. Now it's 3-3, bottom of the sixth at Fenway. And again, Brian Baio and the Red Sox took some sharp money in the market overnight here at Circa, going from about minus 140 to 160. And if you're a Boston bettor, you got some hope now with the game tied at the bottom of the sixth. The Brewers have won 8 in a row going in tonight, Will, but they had an early lead and now trail the Reds. Top of the eighth, Cincinnati has a 3-2 lead.
Are you buying the Brewers here? I still have a hard time.
No, not completely. Not completely, no.
Yeah, me neither. Yelich just swung a good bat, though. That's a good organization. They do more with less. It's almost like Tampa in the National League, where they don't have a lot of money. They get a good player. They can't really afford to keep them. They have to recycle them and get more prospects. But, man, they seem to overachieve. It just, you know, there's a ceiling with them. When they get to the playoffs, they just can't get to that next level.
D-backs lead the Braves 5-3 in Atlanta. That's top of the eighth. Rays 1-0 over the Rangers. Top of the sixth in Tampa. And how about this? White Sox lead the Tigers, middle of the fifth. White Sox have one run on one hit and lead the Tigers 1-0. Cardinals on top of the Royals 7-2. That game in St. Louis, and that's top of the fifth there. Still got games starting on the West Coast tonight in Seattle and Sacramento and San Francisco and L.A. Mets, Dodgers. Tim Neverett, the play-by-play guy for the Dodgers, put out some footage on Twitter of the tarp on the infield at Dodger Stadium with some rain rolling through there tonight. I'm sure the game's still going to start on time. Just a passing rain shower in Southern California, which rarely happens this time of year. But the Dodgers -138 with Clayton Kershaw on the mound. That's our game of the night. And, Will, I think the problem here is you're guessing what you might get from Clayton Kershaw. You have not seen anything concrete so far that would say, hey, yeah, that's a guy I want to bet on. And you don't want to lay a price of 138 when you're guessing on the starting pitcher, right?
Tempted by taking half a run in the first five and going back to that angle, just because I think it's a toss-up kind of game. I understand Dodgers losing two in a row. You want to back them maybe, but this is still a really good Mets team. McGill's been okay. He wears you out with the pitches. Just so many pitches. He's not efficient. But Kershaw at this stage of his career is very hittable. Now, again, you can see a 2-2, 3-3 after five. You catch that half a run there. It's very valuable in the first five innings. It's more valuable, obviously, when it's a lower total, not when it's up at nine and over to the juice to the over here. But if I had to play anything, I'd take that half a run in the first five.
Tyler McGill has been a strikeout pitcher. 12.1 strikeouts per nine for the Mets so far. He leads the Mets staff in strikeouts. Mookie Betts back in the lineup for the Dodgers tonight after that toe injury kept him out over the weekend against the Yankees. A couple of finals in MLB. The Rockies win again back-to-back for Colorado, 3-2 in Miami. It's now final, and Astros shut out the Pirates. Paul Skeens, tough luck, no run support tonight. Astros 3-0 behind Lance McCullers. We come back. Uncle Lou Finicaro joins the show. He's going to break down the Stanley Cup Final, Edmonton, Florida. The rematch. Stay tuned.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, welcome back. As the Yankees lead the Guardians 3-1, bottom of the seventh, we shift from baseball to the pucks, and let's dial up Lou Finicaro on a progressive guest line tonight. Uncle Lou, VSiN contributor and longtime handicapper, and he loves to handicap the hockey playoffs from the goal out. Stanley Cup final is here. It's the rematch. Florida Panthers, Edmonton Oilers went seven games a year ago. Lou, thanks for jumping on the show tonight. Are you fired up for the rematch between these teams after it was so good, that series was so good a year ago?
Well, first of all, guys, thanks so much for having me on tonight. Yeah, this is going to be an unbelievable series. The rematch makes tremendous sense. Rematches in the modern era have gone 2-2 in the early years. Montreal Quebec and won cup after cup, but then in latter years, it was the Islanders that would win the first series, and Edmonton came back. That was Gretzky. And then the Pens won and then beat Detroit, and that was Crosby. So is there mojo for a superstar like McDavid and Dreisaitl, for that matter, to kick the door in and get there this year?
Well, Lou, I would expect that. I would expect that type of talk from Scott Seidenberg, who was talking about that when he was in the studio last night, or Wes Reynolds, who loves these soap opera storylines and the symmetry of things like that. But I wouldn't expect you to get caught up in things like that, because you handicap from the goal out, and who's got the better goalie in this series?
Well, I think that you have to give it to Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And when a lot of people are comparing this year's cup to last year's because of the teams, but this year's Bob is way better than last year's Bob. And I think for many reasons, we have to talk about depth improvement for the Oilers. They get Ekblad back, defense. We've seen the Oilers adjust defensively, and they play with a tandem goalie. The Florida team relies on Bobrovsky. He's been a superstar this year. They've insulated their defense. And I'm going a long way in saying that over the course of a really tough series, that I think that anyone tells you they're sure one team or the other is going to win, they're ASOP, because no one really knows. But here's what I think. In that game seven last year, guys, it was a 2-1 game. They had played six games. They knew each other, and there was familiarity. This year will be a continuation from game seven. I believe that these unders are going to come hard and heavy. I think by game three, we'll be seeing 5.5s. I think 6.5 is obtuse. If you look at DraftKings, over-under goals for the series, 35.5, which in a seven-game series, you know, takes you to about 5.1 or whatever. Okay, then it's going to be tight. But if it's a 5 or 6-game series, which could easily be, then that makes a lot of sense. I like the under in the first game. I like the under that DraftKings is offering for total goals in the series as well. And that's based on familiarity and strong defenses.
Lou Finocchiaro with us again. Edmonton minus 120 in the series. Edmonton minus 124 in game one, total of 6. Will Hill.
Lou, first 10 minutes, 15 minutes tomorrow. You're sitting there, you're watching the game. What's the matchup you're looking for that you think dictates a lot going forward in this series?
I would tell anyone, don't miss the first period of this game, because Edmonton got pushed around last year and bullied down in Florida. Now it's in Edmonton, and it's Florida that has to do the travel, but it's Florida that carries the weight, the physicality. The Oilers are still going to try and tiptoe and be precise, and it's Florida that can't let them. I really believe that game one will go to Florida. Why would I say that? Well, Florida's 12-5 in the Stanley Cup tournament this year on the road. So Florida finds a way to steal game one, and I think they win the series. And if you bet it that way, again, I'm looking at a DraftKings number, Florida to win game one and then win the series is plus 190. I think I'm going to start there, and I'm going to play some unders.
Anything you think in the Conn Smythe market that's worth a shot? You know, people want to bet a little to win a lot, maybe necessarily don't bet hockey on a game-to-game or night-to-night basis, but if they see something 15-20-1, they'll take a shot just to have a rooting interest. Does anything fit that criteria here for you in terms of the Conn Smythe?
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. Well, when we were too late on Florida, you know, a week or two ago, we did get Bobrovsky for Conn Smythe at 9-1. So we've got a Edmonton at plus 470 and Bobrovsky Conn Smythe is how we approached it. But to answer that now, the price on Bob is not advantageous, but the price on Barkov sure is. And this guy Barkov is their leading offensive catalyst. Yes, I know that Tkachuk gets a lot of that shine, but it's Barkov. And so if you wanted to go there, that's where I'd steer you. But it's still only plus 550. After that, I believe you're playing a numbers game. Oh, boy, 30-1 sounds great, but I'm in it to cash a ticket. So I would go Barkov.
Home ice, how much does it matter? Two pretty equal teams here. Is a situation where home ice is the tiebreaker and it means a lot because they're so close? Or is it, you know what, veteran teams, they've both been in the playoffs a lot of experience. You can kind of take home ice and throw it out the window. What's your feelings here?
Every year you could take home ice and throw it out the window. Well, but this year you can't. First round, 22-12 home teams. Second round, 8-9. Third round, 5-3. So they're up 35-24. You have to respect it, but I'm not. I think the road team wins in the first game. And when you win the first game of a series, it really gives you an advantageous position.
Lou Finocchiaro, follow him at GamLou, live from his office in Phoenix tonight, Florida, Edmonton. Game one is Wednesday night, and Lou breaking it down for us here. So, Lou, last year, Edmonton Oilers got off to a really slow start in the series, came back 4-7, but too little too late. What's going to be different, do you think, for the Oilers this time? Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, what's going to be different for this Oilers team to make sure they have a different outcome?
The fact that they've been there and this isn't new to them this year. The fact that they're a much more sound defensive team this year than last year, and the sweet taste of revenge. Since these kids were in fifth grade going to hockey practice at 4 a.m, they wanted their name on the cup. They got really close last year. So the hunger factor for Edmonton must be factored.
All right. How about the goalie situation here with Bobrovsky and Stuart Skinner? How do you, how much of an edge do you think the Florida Panthers have in goal?
I think they have a substantial edge, but that's also compounded by defense. Mm-hmm. So far in the playoffs, Florida is allowing 2.29 goals and Edmonton's allowing 2.81. And if you know me and you're familiar with from the goal out, that clearly points you to Florida.
All right. So when we had you on the show a couple weeks ago, you liked the Carolina Hurricanes against the Panthers. You thought the Panthers were going to wear out. Have you come around to the Florida side here? And I guess, why do you think that series backfired on the Hurricanes?
I don't think they could handle the weight of Florida. I was really, really wrong in that series. And in the first round, I was pretty wrong on some others. I will give you that. And so I think the difference is going to be that Edmonton from last year to this year addressed defense, and they're playing with a platoon at goal. It's all defense. On offense, it isn't the lean on Dreisaitl and McDavid any longer. It's their secondary depth that's really allowed them to get here and contribute. And that whole team aspect with Florida's heavy physical style, I think, is going to equate to a bunch of 2-2 overtime games.
All right, Lou, we'll wrap it up here. You're in a pretty good position there. You said you got Edmonton at what price, and you got Bobrovsky at what, 9-1?
At 470 for Edmonton. Now, that was a round or two ago, mm-hmm. and Bobrovsky at 9 for the Conn Smythe. So it really, Bob should have won the Conn Smythe last year, right. I thought, mm-hmm. but he wasn't the Bob that he is this year, and yet we can't put any crowns on him yet because he's got a big series to have to get through.
Last 45 seconds or so, any bets or at current numbers that you would recommend game one or in the series as we look ahead on the eve of the opener?
I like that game one play with Florida to Florida win the series. If you just want to play the series now, Florida is a dead pick 'em, but in game one, they're plus 110 now, and by the time they drop the puck, they're going to be plus 115 or better. So I would suggest wait until right before they drop the rubber and take Florida as a good plus 115 or better underdog. It will be there. They will be betting Edmonton tomorrow.
All right, there you go. There's Lou Finocchiaro wearing his Florida Panthers golf shirt in his home office in Phoenix tonight. Lou, always appreciate the time. Great to see you.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. Have a good night.
Will Hill, when we come back, Will, give us an update on what's happening with the Guardians and the Yankees after this quick break on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Aaron Judge slides into second. Looks like he's out. But Will Hill, give us an update on what's happening between the Guardians and the Yankees in the Bronx.
Yeah, a little ALCS rematch here. The Yankees lead 3-1. A couple of homers, Volpe and Chisholm in the seventh. So well-pitched game by Rodon. Bibee was good until the seventh where he gave up a couple homers. So 3-1, Yankees looking to hold on. I haven't seen, you know, just kind of got all these games on in the background. I haven't seen the bullpen usage by Boone. I would imagine it's Devin Williams to close this out. Again, I haven't seen who's pitched the seventh, the eighth, but will be the first save situation since the Luke Weaver injury. Williams has been pretty good since being demoted. It scares you to put him back in the closer role, but you know, he's got the track record. He's got the stuff. We'll see if Williams is the guy here in the ninth.
I would guess it's going to be Williams, and if that's the case, it's going to be interesting to watch because over the next 4 to 6 weeks with Luke Weaver out, I wouldn't be surprised if Devin Williams is a roller coaster ride as the Yankees closer. He was bad before he got demoted, and Luke Weaver came in and really calmed things down in that Yankees bullpen. But tonight, I bet yes, it's going to be Williams. All right, that's a fly out by Paul Goldschmidt, so we're going to go to the top of the ninth, 3-1. It looks like it's going to be Devin Williams, right? It's going to try to close this one out for the Yankees. They're minus 4,000 on the money line at DraftKings with a two-run lead going to the ninth. Let's see. Brewers have won 8 in a row going into the night. Led 2-0, now trail 4-2 in the ninth. And Cincinnati Reds minus 15,000. We were talking about the Brewers at a plus price early in the show tonight, Will, and they had the lead, but they've coughed it up. Looks like that long win streak is going to end tonight in Cincinnati.
Yes, it is. Got my eyes on that. So Hunter Green versus Peralta, a good pitching matchup. Another one I've looked at, I don't think we've talked about this game tonight, Kansas City, St. Louis, Royals, Cardinals, not a marquee game, but the debut finally of Caglione, the big time prospect from Florida, the left-handed slugger. I saw he got robbed of a hit his first at bat. They are leading 8-7. The Royals are leading 8-7 here in the fifth. Check the stats here in a minute, see what Caglione has done. But that's another one where, you know, baseball people are just like, when is this guy going to come up? Well, he's finally up. These teams like to hold out with the prospects and manipulate the service time. But still a pretty rapid rise for Caglione through the farm system, because this is it's still less than a year from the draft, which was last July. So you're talking about a pretty quick call-up, all things considered, here for Caglione. We'll see what kind of player he can be. He was a two-way player in Florida, a big-time slugger and a left-handed pitcher. I don't think he's going to pitch here in the pros. I don't think he was pitching in the minors, but big-time hitter, big-time power here for Caglione.
There's something to talk about there, too, because Caglione actually – I think the Royals could have held his calendar back or held his clock back a year if they had waited until after June 17th to call him up, right? You would have got an extra year before arbitration, I believe, and instead they called him up early. He's 0-3 tonight. Bobby Witt Jr. did hit a homer. He's got four RBIs. Witt's seventh homer. The Royals scored 6 runs in the fifth inning. They were down 7-2 last time we talked about this game. Now 8-7, KC on top of the Cardinals in St. Louis. So, I thought it was a little bit early that Kansas City called him up, but they're 2 games over 500 and probably feel like we can win now if we call the kid up. And he's 0-3 tonight, but Kansas City's got the lead 8-7. Our game of the night is Mets-Yankees. Excuse me. It's Mets-Dodgers. I've got the Yankees on my mind because I'm watching the ninth inning right now. I just watched Yankees-Dodgers over the weekend in L.A. Devin Williams in the game to try to close this one out for the Yankees. He's got a 6.23 ERA on the season in 25 games, and opponents batting .238 against him. Devin Williams going to try to close it out for the Yankees with Luke Weaver injured. But our game of the night is Mets-Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw getting the start. And Tyler McGill going for the Mets. Mookie Betts back in the lineup for the Dodgers after stubbing and apparently fracturing his toe walking through his home in the dark last week. What do you think Mookie Betts is worth to a betting line, Will Hill? Is it like 5 to 10 cents tops?
Yeah, I was thinking 10 cents. 10 cents is about right?
Yeah, because when he was out of the lineup on Friday and Saturday, the Dodgers didn't miss him at all. Obviously, over the long haul, Mookie Betts, I would say, is probably worth somewhere between 5, 10 cents. When he's hitting, right now he's struggling a little bit. Obviously, he was really ill before the season, so he hadn't quite been himself. Not MVP Mookie like we remember. But I think when he's hot, he's probably worth at least 10 cents of betting line. Anyway, he's back in the lineup tonight. Dodgers, this line has not moved. We're about 30 minutes away from first pitch in L.A., and at Circa, still minus 138, and that's where I was when we started to talk about this game when the show opened. Also in San Francisco tonight, Giants are minus 160, total is 7.5, shaded over, minus 125. Padres won that game 1-0 last night. I'm glad I didn't bet that. A lot of times I bet Logan Webb when he starts at home. He was great last night, but the Giants could give him no run support. Very similar story with Logan Webb last night and Paul Skeens tonight. Also on the West Coast, Orioles and Mariners in Seattle. This game starts in about 5 minutes, Will. Kirby is going to go for the Mariners. They're minus 138, total of 7.5. I can't recall. Did you say you have a bet on this game or not?
No, it would be Orioles at plus money or nothing. Kirby hasn't been good. He's been hurt, and he's been shaky the 2 times off the IL. He's a guy I typically like to back. Same thing with Bryce Miller for Seattle. A couple guys I really like to back, I think, are underrated. I like all of their pitchers. Miller, Kirby, Wu, Logan Gilbert. It's a really good pitching staff, but just hasn't been so far the George Kirby we're used to. It's Sagano going for the Orioles. He's actually been solid. He's not great. None of the Orioles pitching from the starter standpoint is any good. But Sagano's been consistent. He's been solid. Orioles, all that left-handed hitting, do better against righties than lefties. So the plus price with how shaky Kirby has been might be a smarter bet. Nothing I've played. But if you want to bet smarter this football season, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a full year for just $199 plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum, a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now and get instant access to a daily email with all the best bets from hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our 2025-26 NFL betting guide dropping July 1st. Don't miss out on the limited-time offer. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe and use the promo code book to sign up. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Anything in this baseball card late here?
Yeah, we got to talk about this. We got to talk about the Twins and A's, because I think this is something that hasn't been talked about enough, how bad the A's have been. And again, they got beat 10-4 last night. If you're betting baseball tonight, should you be looking at betting a runs line on the Twins? Should you be betting against the A's consistently? We talk a lot about how rotten the Rockies have been, but now they won back-to-back games. How about the A's? They've lost 7 in a row and 18 of the last 19. A's are at home tonight in Sacramento. Lopez for the Twins, Holman for the A's. But again, the price is jacked up. Minnesota minus 200, total of 10, shaded under minus 120. If you want to lay the run and a half with the Twins, it's right around minus 120, 125. Is this something we haven't really talked about enough, Will? You should be betting against the A's when they are sliding like this. 1-18 in the last 19 games.
Yeah, and I don't have much on Holman. I thought it was Lopez at first, so I guess we have a pitching change. Maybe it's an opener scenario. We can look at that. But Pablo Lopez going for Minnesota, he's pretty good. Got good swing and miss stuff. The A's, remember, like last year, the White Sox were the team everyone beat up on. This year, it's the Rockies. 2 years ago, I think it was the A's that were just awful. Mm-hmm. Last year, it started to look like maybe there's some signs. They got Rooker and they got Mason Miller. They got some signs that maybe in a couple years they're a playoff team. They've really regressed. They've been a fade team. So I don't like laying a run and a half, but this is a spot to do it. An environment where you can get a lot of offense. You got the road team, so you got the 9 at-bats. It would be Minnesota laying the run and a half, if anything, for me, but nothing I bet.
Byron Buxton had 5 RBIs last night in that Twins win 10-4 over the A's in West Sacramento. Do you think the fans in Sacramento are ready to send the A's back to Oakland?
Yeah, I think they could package them, the Kings, and try to just send them one professional team that can give them a realistic chance to win, for sure. 2-for-1.
All right, here we go. It's going to get interesting in the Bronx. Devin Williams trying to get in and get the save, and he gives up a one-out double in the gap. So the Twins got a runner at second with one out. Will, I'm telling you, I like Williams, but when a closer starts to lose it, it becomes a mental hurdle that sometimes you can't get back over. And I think the Yankees are going to be riding a roller coaster with this guy as a closer for the next month or so.
13-1 on the money line. If you're just bored and you want to throw pizza money on something, I don't think that's the worst 13-1 shot. And I said it when they traded for him. You and I were on the air when Pete Alonso hit that dramatic opposite field 3-run homer.
Yep.
It's like a kicker who misses a big kick. Blair Walsh, or you know, some of these other guys, Mike Vanderjagt for the Colts years ago in the playoffs. You miss a big kick, you blow a season-ending save like this. Sometimes you just never recover, because closers, kickers, it's such a psychological position. It's always worried me. We'll see here if Williams can start to get back in the right direction as a closer.
Yankees still huge favorites here, obviously, but you get about 16-1 on the Guardians if you think they can make a comeback here against Devin Williams and the Yankees. He's got an 0-2 count, one out, runner on second, 2-run lead here in the ninth inning. All right, we're going to talk more about the NFC North. The Lions, Bears, Packers, Vikings. Stay tuned.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The body language of Devin Williams, not positive. The closer for the Yankees, the on-again, off-again closer for the Yankees, now on-again because of Luke Weaver's injury. He's trying to close it out in the ninth inning in the Bronx. He gave up a double in the gap with the one out, just gave up a single, a two-out single. I got to tell you, it wasn't a bad pitch. I thought it was actually a good piece of hitting there. to drive in the run, make it 3-2. I'm not going to say Williams has looked bad in this inning, Will Hill, but he's certainly making it interesting. Twins have a runner on first, tying runner on first, and 3-2 here with two outs in the ninth, and Devin Williams trying to close it out for the Yankees. Right before that single at DraftKings, a live number, you could have had the Guardians at 16-1 odds, and now 11-1, but it's changing by the second, so not sure what's happening here. Maybe he's going to get ahead 0-2 in the count. That might be what happens, yeah. Because the odds are up to 20-1 as we speak. Yep, there you go, 0-2 count. It's funny how the live betting screen is so far ahead of what happens when you're watching the TV feed. So 3-2, Yankees lead, 0-2 count, two outs, runner on first. You got to close this out. When he gave up that single, he looked like he was he got a visit from the mound, and he needed it. He needed an attitude boost there because he slumped his shoulders, and you could tell he was disappointed to give up a run. But the Yankees trying to hold on. Up one in the ninth. Angels and Red Sox tied at 3 at Fenway in the ninth inning. Angels had a 3-1 lead. Red Sox came back to tie it. We're still tied in that game. The White Sox beating up on the Tigers, who have the best record in baseball going into tonight. White Sox lead 4-1 in the seventh on the south side of Chicago. We'll see if Devin Williams can close this one out for the Yankees. They were minus 215 with Carlos Rodon on the hill tonight. And trying to hold on to a 3-2 win in the second game of the, or excuse me, opener of this series against the Guardians in the Bronx. How about the Cardinals? You talked about taking a live number with a team that was way down tonight. Cardinals were up 7-2 on the Royals, and now Kansas City leads that game 10-7 in the sixth inning. So an eruption from the Kansas City Royals offense tonight, and they have a 3-run lead in St. Louis after trailing by 5. Will, do you think Devin Williams is going to close this one out for the Yankees?
I do.
Are you watching the live betting screen or what?
Huh? No. Two outs, two strikes. It just went gray here, so we'll see what happens. I mean, two outs, two strikes. It's up to 11-1, so it looks like Cleveland is going to advance to second base, the runner on first, either a wild pitch or a stolen base. So watching this through the app, now they're just a base hit away from tying it. Odds now 10-1 at DraftKings if you want to take a shot on Cleveland. I think with two outs, two strikes, he could just, you know, play around and just throw him enough changeups where eventually you get one in the dirt and you get him to fish. But not making it easy here for Devin Williams. And there's a little bit of irony because I have the channel on with the MLB mix and you got all the different games going. Devin Williams on one screen, and on the screen right below him, Aroldis Chapman in the Red Sox uniform. So not good symmetry right there.
No, it's not. Actually, yeah, I was going to say the live betting screen went gray again. The odds on the Guardians went from 20-1 to 10-1 with you got a runner in scoring position, a 3-2 count, and two outs here in the ninth inning. And we'll see if Williams can get this last out to close it out. 3-2 count, and that's going to be a fly ball deep to left field. That's going to be a fly out. Yankees going to win the game 3-2. There you go, Will. He gives up a run, but he gets the save, and the Yankees get to win 3-2. All right, let's talk NFC North. We're breaking down the Detroit Lions schedule, and it is a brutal schedule. It's one of the three toughest schedules in the NFL. They were 15-2 last season. Lions play 9 road games. 8 of those road games are against teams that finished above 500 last season. That's the most such games on the road for any team in NFL history, and the Lions face that this season. Those teams they face on the road, the opponents, Eagles, Chiefs, Vikings, Commanders, Ravens, Packers, Rams, Bengals. Only team with a losing record last season that the Lions faced on the road, the Bears, who finished 5-12 a year ago. Will, I want to get your sense. A year ago, I was anti-Bears. You were bullish on the Bears, and they went the wrong direction. They won 5 games. Matt Eberflus was a big reason I was betting against that team. Also a rookie quarterback in Caleb Williams. Much different picture with the Bears this time around, with Ben Johnson taking over, the former Lions offensive coordinator. So when you look at the Lions schedule, no doubt it's brutal. Win totals 10.5. I'm leaning under on the Lions. I feel like this division is almost up for grabs, but I don't love the Vikings. I don't love the Bears. And I got some problems with a quarterback in Green Bay that I don't really love either, and Jordan Love. So there's a lot to unwrap here with the NFC North we could talk about throughout the summer. But do you feel like this division is sort of up for grabs, with Detroit probably headed for some sort of decline with one of the NFL's three toughest schedules, and now without two starting offensive linemen and their two coordinators?
Yes. I think that this might be the only division where you could tell me any one of the four teams won it, and I wouldn't really blink. I mean, just go through them.
Even the Bears.
I'd be shocked.
Even the Bears?
Even the Bears. I think they really improved their offensive line. I think the tight end, especially in Ben Johnson's scheme, can be a very valuable weapon. And he had no quarterback play at Michigan last year. Now you're going to get him with Caleb Williams, where, look, if we're going to see it from Caleb Williams, we're going to see it pretty soon here, because he has no excuses. That the debacle on Thanksgiving, where he didn't know, you know, the play clock, the timeout scenario was just a disaster, complete embarrassment on national TV in front of everybody. They gave the game away. A lot of that was on him. A lot of that was on Eberflus. They're both to blame. But he's surrounded now. He's got receivers. He's got a better offensive line. He's got a tight end. They can move Kmet in. I think that they are well positioned here. Look, I probably would. I don't think I would pick them to win the division. I don't know who I'd pick to win the division, to be honest. But if you told me they, you know what, Caleb Williams had it coming out here, Ben Johnson gave him a big boost, and they won 10 or 11 games and won the division, I wouldn't be shocked. I'd be mildly surprised, but I wouldn't be shocked. And I don't know that you can say that for any of the other divisions in football. AFC West is really good, but I'd have a hard time seeing the Raiders actually win the division. I think this is probably the deepest division in the NFL.
All right, so Rob Miss, who writes betting columns for the Chicago Sun-Times, always checks in with me on NFL futures. And a few weeks ago, he asked me about the Bears, and I said, look, you know I bet the Bears under the total almost every year. I'm not going to do it this year. I'm not betting the Bears under. And that was one of my favorite plays a year ago, was Bears under, especially if you got to 9. It was 8.5 or 9. Bears were not going to win 10 games a year ago. That was a great bet under. Anyway, this year I'm not betting the Bears under. I like the upgrades they've made on offense and defense. Obviously, the coaching staff's much better. Caleb Williams, I believe, is going to make great strides in his growth, because he had no clue what he was doing a year ago. And a lot of that had to do with the clueless coaching staff around him. I think the outlook for the Bears is a lot more optimistic this year. I'm not saying I'm going to predict the Bears to win the division. I'm not saying yet I like them over 8.5 on the win total, but I give them a much better shot this year than a year ago. And I like him in the season opener, because I do think Detroit's going to decline a little bit. Detroit might decline by about 5 games. I wouldn't be surprised if the Lions go from 15 wins to 10. How about the Vikings? Your Vikings, Will Hill. I do think they're going to take a step back too. And I've been reading some stories that there's some concerns behind the scenes about J.J. McCarthy, who's essentially a rookie quarterback. He missed his first year, wiped out with injury. And I believe that J.J. McCarthy should be surrounded by a lot of questions as essentially a rookie quarterback with a lot to prove. That Vikings team's pretty good around him, but that's the guy I would be concerned about if you're pro Vikings going into this season. Week 1, Vikings at Bears. I got a feeling Ben Johnson's going to win his coaching debut at Soldier Field with Chicago, because I'm not anti-Vikings as much as I'm kind of anti-J.J. McCarthy here, getting his first start on the road as a rookie.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. The Vikings have all the makings of a team that takes a step back. They got lucky turnovers, short yardage, injuries. They were pretty fortunate. That being said, there's a lot of room between taking a step back from where they were and 8.5 for a season win total. So you can tell me, oh, they're going to regress. Okay, I agree. But are they going to regress from 14 to 8? It's still a good coaching staff. It's still a really good roster. If McCarthy can just play, you know, B-minus, C-plus football, that's still a really, really good team. I get that the schedule's tough. And keep in mind, these NFC teams are all short a home game. Now, Minnesota has 2 international games, but they both count as road games, so it doesn't bother them as much. But that's still a tough schedule. If I had to take anything with the Vikings, I'd probably just look for the plus money, which I still think you can get at them, yes, to make the playoffs. I think the coaching staff and the roster is enough for them to be, you know, 9-10 win team and get one of the 7 spots in the NFC.
I think you're going to have a lot of teams in the NFC North jammed right there around 8, 9, 10 wins when we go down the stretch in December. Now, I'm going to ask you in the final hour tonight, what you think the Bears' record is going to be after the first 10 weeks. 9 games in the first 10 weeks. Where do you think Ben Johnson and the Bears are going to be? That's coming up in the final hour. Also, a CFL season preview with Ian Cameron. This summer, go all in at Circa Las Vegas with Ultimate Getaway Package. Just $400. You get a two-night stay at Circa, a $100 dining credit, a $100 beverage credit, and your own day bed at Stadium Swim. Hell of a deal. Just $400, resort fees and taxes included. CircaLasVegas.com.